Okay, great. All right. Well, today it is 10:01 a.m. and this is the meeting for the Moonlight Village Public Infrastructure Districts number 1 and 2. I am Betsy Russin with WBA, and also present we do have Dave Scoville, we have Ryan Sparks, Lauren Warburton with CLA, and did I miss anyone? Okay, there being 2 out of 3 members of the board here present, we'll go ahead and declare a quorum and begin the meeting at 10:01. The first item of business, can you all see the agenda?
Yes.
Great. First item of business, preliminary action, is to consider approval of the agenda as you have it before you. Anything anyone wants to add to the agenda? If not, I'll entertain a motion to approve.
I'll give a motion to approve the agenda that we currently have in front of us.
Great. Is there a second?
I second.
Thanks, Ryan. Oh, looks like there is Shane. So we'll note that Shane is now present and did enter the meeting. Shane, we're just on item 2B, and to confirm conflict of interest disclosures. Let me just note for the record too, Dave, is you're at location at the anchor location, is that correct?
I am, and I've gone in the lobby, and no one is here for this meeting.
Okay. All
So,
right. I don't see.
anchor location.
Okay. Don't see anyone on Zoom as well. But very first, before that, I guess, let's confirm conflict of interest disclosures. We do have your annual conflicts in place. Any additional disclosures anyone would like to make that pertains to this meeting or anything before the board? Okay, there being none, we'll move on to item number 3. As I just noted, there are no members of the public per the Zoom call or at the location. So we'll go ahead and, oh, sorry, my screen switched up on me. So we'll go ahead and move on to the action items. Action item number 1 is to approve the April 27th joint special meeting minutes. Those were part of the meeting packet. They're here in front of you. Any questions or issues there?
No, not on my end.
Okay, then
I'll
I'll entertain a motion to approve.
motion.
All right, thanks, Shane. Is there a second?
Hi.
Who is that? Was that
Dave.
Dave?
Dave. Yep.
All right, all in favor?
Hi.
Great. Next, we have item B, which is the unaudited financial statements. So I will turn that over to you, Lauren.
Thank you, Betsy. Would you like me to share my screen?
Please.
I can share it here if you just tell me where to go.
Okay, this is perfect. Yeah, let's start with the balance sheet. Okay, board. So balance sheet here, we're looking at as of June 30th. So total assets were sitting at just under 1.7 million, with the majority of that sitting in the debt service fund. But it does look like there's 2,800 in the capital projects fund, and then just $3.12 in the working capital fund that I believe will now just be transferred out of there to close that out. Then on the liability side, accounts payable sitting at 16,878 just for unpaid invoices as of June 30th that I believe are anticipated to be paid through developer advances. Then we can scroll down. One page, Betsy. So moving to the general fund here, so far interest income of $21.84, with total expenditures being just under 19,500 for the accounting, insurance, and legal costs that have come through. Then on the, it looks like developer advances have been received of 2,565. Which brings our ending fund balance to a deficit of 16.8 thousand. Again, anticipated to be brought back to zero when those balances sitting in the accounts payable account have been paid. Then, if you can skip down 2 pages, Betsy. Moving to the debt service fund. So far, property tax revenues have been received of 39,700, as well as interest income of 28,200. Then on the expenditures side, the bond interest payment has been made of 396,000, as well as the agent fees of 3,500, which means our ending fund balance to 1.67 million. And then lastly, in the capital projects fund,
Oh, sorry. There we go.
thank you. So minimal activity here, but there was interest income of $44, which brings our ending fund balance to 2,869. Any questions on the financials today?
So the balance, what's the balance for the interest reserve?
Let's scroll back.
Is it the first page, the total between 909 and 727?
You know, I'm used to seeing as a separate account for it. And it doesn't look like there is one here. But yes, so all the bond payments will initially be made from that senior bond fund and then move to the surplus fund after that. So it's that 909,000.
That's the only question I have.
I don't have any questions either.
Okay, then I'll let you ask for whatever motion you need, Betsy.
Okay, I'll entertain a motion to approve the June 30th, 2026 unaudited financial statements.
I'll make a motion to approve the statements.
I'll second.
Thank you, Dave and Shane. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Great. We'll move on now, Lauren, to the approve the claims listing item C, and I'll hold that up.
Perfect. Okay, so looking here, board, this covers Q2, so April 1st through June 30th payments. Total payments were $7,709.20. There was a payment to CLA using that last working capital requisition, and then it looks like we've started paying these invoices through developer advances. So payments for accounting, insurance, and then UMB's annual fee. Any questions on the payment listing?
No questions.
Entertain a motion to approve.
I'll make a motion.
Thanks, Shane. Is there a second?
A second.
Thanks, Ryan. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right, we'll move on to item D, which is the audit. And once again, there you go, Lauren.
Yeah, you guys will be sick of my voice by the end of this. I will point out before I go through this one, this is still technically considered a draft just because we haven't received final audit reports from Haney just yet. We don't anticipate any changes at this point. We do consider, or sorry, we anticipate a clean opinion with no adjustments, but just want to point that out, that the action today is subject to official receipt of that opinion. So I'll kind of go through high level, but if you have any questions, feel free to stop me and we can go through things in more detail. So if we start with page one, Betsy, I believe that's page 28 of the packet. Perfect. Okay, so this is the balance sheet for the district, which includes long-term assets and liabilities that aren't usually included on the interim financials. Capital assets were sitting at 9.6 million, and those will be reflected as conveyed upon final completion and acceptance. And then long-term liabilities are just over 12.4 million, which is made up of the outstanding principal of the property tax bonds and the subordinate bonds, as well as a liability to pay back developer advances. And then I will point out that net position is at a deficit of 1.1 million, and this is primarily due to the bond interest and issuance costs incurred that were paid with bond proceeds in 2025. So this is very common for districts at this stage, and I'd say there are no concerns at this point. And then if we scroll down to page two, Betsy, this one is the income statement for the district. So total assets there on the left-hand side were just over 1.2 million, which includes the interest incurred on the bonds as well as the 2025 administrative expenses. And then revenues there on the right-hand side were 117,000 made up of property tax revenues and then the interest earned in 2025. So this again shows that deficit net position at the end of the year just related to the bond interest and issuance costs that were paid part of bond issuance. The next few pages we can scroll past, Betsy. These are similar to what you would see on an interim basis that you saw in 2025 on those financials. So if we go to page 7, this starts the disclosures to the financials. So these will discuss the basis of accounting that's used, the financial statement line items a little bit more in more detail. But usually, where I'd like to point out is starting on page 14. I want to say it's 41 of the packet. Yes, so this shows the long-term obligations. And then on page 18, we have the maturity bond schedule presented. So I just like to point out those are the pages that those are on since they're the largest liability balances. Everything else is captured here. I would say not really anything else that I have prepared, but I'm happy to answer any questions on anything in the audit today.
Questions.
Okay, there being no questions, then I'll entertain a motion to approve the 225 audit for district number one.
I motion to approve the 225 audit for District 1.
Thanks, Ryan. Is there a second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Great, so noted. Thanks, Lauren. Anything else from CLA before we move on?
No, nothing from us. Thank you, Betsy. Thanks for letting
Okay.
me talk for the last few minutes.
You.
All right, next item on the agenda is item 4E, and this is the amendment to the governing document. And the timing on this is it may feel a little backwards. We received the request from Gilmore Bell. The city has already approved this, and this is very reflective of what most PIDs in the state are doing at the request of bond or district council to reflect legislative changes that became effective on June 6th. So this has already gone through the city. In order to be effective, the district as well will need to approve. But the major items that this covers is amending the section that has to do with the board composition and the transition to elected board. One of the major changes is allowing for when there's a vacancy on the board, instead of having to go back to the city, as we did with this district, it allows now for the current board members to make those changes. And that is something that's allowable by statute, but needs to be in the governing document. I think the other is just this change here to section 11B, the notice to buyers and lessees. Some of these were already built into our governing document models, but it's with new legislation, just making sure that there is ample notice for any end user or buyer of any commercial or residential property. And I think we've already discussed this in-house with your team, but just you'll see the specific language, and it requires it to be on an 18 by 24 notice. Any questions
That's
about this?
just the notice when they come into the model home, right?
Yeah, it's when they come into the model home, and let's make sure I don't misstate anything, but I think it's model homes or sales office within the development. And then also it does talk about the sheet of paper and the closing documents being on a separate sheet of paper of a different color.
Yeah,
So
got that.
I think things you're already doing and practicing.
Yep, we're doing that right now.
So, with that, then, and this language actually was drafted by Gilmore Bell, and as proposed, it's new here, but it's in line with the amendments that are being made to almost every district across the state. So, with that, I'll entertain a motion to approve the First Amendment to the governing document.
Yeah, I'll approve that.
Thanks, Dave. Is there a second?
Second.
Was that Shane?
As Ryan.
Oh, thanks, Ryan. Sorry, I just need to make sure I get this
No, you're good.
for the
You're good.
minutes. So, all in favor?
Aye.
Great. Thank you. So noted. Next is just the administrative non-action items, and that's the reminder to complete the annual board member trainings. Allison, I think our paralegal put this together, just I think wanted to remind Shane. It's because it is annually that you need to redo that. I think you actually did it in December. And so it may feel like it was just the other day that you did it. It was. We just need a new one for 2026.
Hold on, Betsy. You're saying that Shane is the only one that's out of compliance. Is that what I just heard?
Oh, yeah, but I didn't say it with
Okay.
that tone, Dave.
I just was wondering. Ryan, thanks for being on top of things.
We need to talk to me so we got good.
Yeah.
And if you need a copy to that link, we can send that to you. I think it takes about 10 minutes to redo it each year. So,
Yeah, would you mind sending that to me again to make sure I have it?
yeah, no problem. I'll send it after the meeting. And that's it. Any other items that anyone needs to discuss or questions?
So on the legislative change that you just walked us through, there
Yeah.
was in the news that I think I don't know if that was just something that was somebody was upset, but they were talking about revisiting the underlying legislation that enabled PIDs. Is that something? Does that ring a bell, Betsy?
Yeah, so there was a lot of talk of PIDs. There was HB 507 that passed through. It kind of was an omnibus bill that brought in several different aspects of PIDs, but there were some that weren't passed. And we do have a legislative summary we can send your way, but we didn't see any of the major changes that had been proposed. There had been a lot of talk about changing of meeting locations, and that one did pass. That was I think a Brady Brammer bill, and so that's where now we're required to have someone at the anchor location either on site or to decide a different anchor location. There are also these amendments making sure that there are notices. Most of our districts, we've had that built into governing documents all along, but now there's just some other check marks to make sure that it runs with the land no matter what. Then anybody who does a title check on the land will see it. Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the PIDs are enabled by statute, so it seemed like the reporting was pretty lousy, but it felt like some of the legislators wanted to actually unwind that. And I would assume that that would be perspective that they wouldn't be able to approve if that did take effect. But everything that was established pursuant to the statute to date would just be grandfathered, I'm assuming.
Oh yeah, there was yeah. So there was some renumbering of some things. There was some cleanup, and so the enabling statutes have moved a little bit. We see some of the items that were in 17B are now in 17D, but nothing that undoes what PIDs are doing. There was also another section dealing with dissolution that once bonds are paid for a PID, there's a requirement within 30 days for the PIDs to dissolve. And so that was an answer to a outstanding debt question of PIDs, but nope, everything is kind of running up and running the same, and this is just a house cleaning matter.
Well, I have.
Okay, and if you have any questions about that, yeah, just reach out, send me an email, and I can get back to you because they're questions that we had to deal with or have answered. And there was also a KSL article that had quite a bit of misinformation, I think,
That's
but.
what I was, that's what I read. So when I read it,
Okay.
I kind of assumed it was mostly wrong. So.
Yeah, and you'll see some of the state agencies that are dealing with PIDs, there have been some responses to that as well. So if you want any resources, I'm happy to send them your way. A few of them will be on our website too.
Great. Thank you.
Okay, good question. So with nothing further, We'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
I will do that motion.
Is
Dave
there a
motions
second?
to adjourn.
I'll second.
I second.
Oh boy, both
I
of you.
third. That's all in favor right
I saw
there.
Shane as a
Both
third, and I saw
hands.
Ryan.
Yeah.
Right,
Let's do it.
all in favor.
All
Okay,
right.
thanks everyone. Have a
Thank
great
you
day.
all. You too.
Thanks
Okay, bye-bye.
everyone.